Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
Disrespect, so when I bust my rhyme, you break your neck. We got 5 minutes for us to disconnect.
All the band is out on the field. He's looking for the ball. We are so away from tradition, because when we be out, girl, it's full of that. Smith caught him right down the line. It may go. Go crazy, folks.
Let's get into it. Pass comes into Jordan. Here's Michael at the foul line. A shot on Elo.
Let's get it started. Let's get it started.
What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Sporting Edge with Bubba and Xander. And Xander, we're getting close. That tournament's creeping up, and college basketball has been awfully wild. What's going on, my boy?
Yeah, you know, it really has been. It's been an interesting year. You know, started watching a little bit more the past week, and this is the first time in a long time I can remember the tournament being such a toss-up. I mean, I remember, you know, a few of these years in the past, and we've had back those Kentucky teams that have just been so dominant. They haven't always won, but do you go in thinking, like, if I pick Kentucky, I'm going to have the best bracket, or then I'm going to have to go with, you know, an underdog, and I won't have to have as good of a bracket. I think that's completely out of the question this year. I mean, I think legitimately that I think 10 of these teams have a chance to win this thing. And we've seen so many upsets and so many knockoffs of top teams. It's really unbelievable. And when you think about it, I mean, every week there's a new top five and people are losing every day. But I think this is really, you know, what makes college basketball exciting is, you know, nobody really being that dominant and, you know, all these teams fighting for that top spot.
That is one thing better. That is the one thing about college basketball more than any other sport is the underdog really has a shot because it is only five guys and the ball, you know, as they say, the ball bounces fine for everybody. So that is one thing about, you know, I mean, college football. Yeah, Alabama can lose to a dog, you know, occasionally, but most of the time they're going to beat the crap out of them. But in college basketball, you know, the game is fast. It can go, and it's that's what makes the tournament the tournament. And now you're putting together a tournament where you've got, you know, Villanova just got knocked off, and Kansas and Virginia and Oklahoma. And Xavier now moved up again. And now all of a sudden Michigan State's creeping up. And Iowa, you know, so, I mean, I figure legitimately, I mean, you cannot say Kentucky cannot win it. And they're the 15th ranked team right now, okay. So I'm not saying they will, but you can't count them out, right? I mean, they got too many athletes in that team.
No, I mean, yeah, I mean, I don't think you can ever count Kentucky out. I mean, with a guy like John Calipari, he's always in the mix. I mean, if you look at the top 25, I mean, there's no team with less than three losses, and it goes all the way up to nine for the top 25, and that's actually Xavier at 25-3. I mean, they're really making a push recently. They ranked seventh last week, up to four right now. They're a team that's really coming on strong. They started off hot beginning of the year, kind of fell off a little bit. That's the team I'm looking for. But we read off the top 10, you know, you got Kansas, Oklahoma, Villanova, Xavier, Virginia, Michigan State, Louisville, West Virginia, Oregon. And then outside, we got Duke, North Carolina, Kentucky. I mean, any one of these teams can make a run. And I'm very excited to watch the NCAA tournament this year. I mean, I always am. It's my favorite sporting event, even though I don't watch too much regular season college basketball. I think the NCAA tournament is, you know, pretty much the best thing in sports.
I could not agree more. I mean, it is the most fun because it's the, you know, it's Thursday. It's Thursday for 13 or 14 hours. It's Friday for 13 or 14 hours. It's Saturday and Sunday, 13 hours. And you can't wait till the next Thursday and do it all over again. So,
I mean, that Thursday, Friday is could make a case for the two best days of the year. I mean, I don't know about you, but I'm glued to my couch, and I couldn't stand being in high school because You know, they put TVs up in the hallway, but, you know, we had to go to class, so I tried to sneak out every once in a while. But, I mean, now, you know, at the age, you guys don't have as much class, and probably be gluing my ass to the couch and watching every minute of every game.
Yeah, no, I mean, it is by far the most fun. And, again, this year it really promises to be. This will be a year of, you know, this could be the year of an underdog. I mean, you know, the number one, they can't, I don't think they can really, I mean, they've already got them out, of course. They have their predictions of who will be the number one seeds. But I will say that 50% of who they have as their number one seeds now will not be the number one seeds when the tournament comes. That's my prediction.
I could definitely see that. I mean, with the way this is going, we're approaching conference tournament time. Things are really heating up. But, you know, I read an interesting article today about Tony Romo, and he was going to host this fantasy event in Las Vegas, and the NFL actually canceled it, and Tony Romo was understandably very upset. And I'm on the side of Romo with this. You know, the NFL was upset that this event was supposedly, you know, too involved with fantasy football and gambling. Well, this past week, if anybody's been watching SportsCenter, Rob Gronkowski just had the biggest party cruise, you know, in the history of the NFL, and they had a casino on the actual boat. So I think Tony Romo has legitimate beef here. I mean, I don't know why the NFL, you know, tries to separate itself so much from gambling and fantasy football when, you know, that makes up such a big percentage of, you know, the league's revenues, and everybody and their mother is playing fantasy football. So I think Tony Romo has a legitimate beef. What do you think?
Well, this is always the fine edge of gambling. Now, I think in today's world, you know, now they have found recently, you know, Donaher was caught gambling. So, you know, I don't think you would see the athletes fixing a game anymore because they make too much money. But there's still the problem. And in Vegas, where gambling is legal now, we're not talking about a casino, because New Jersey has casinos, but they don't have sports betting. They actually may even have sports betting right now, but, you know, that came afterwards. That's why the Raiders were talking about going to Vegas, and the NFL doesn't want to approve it, because now you're right in the center of it. Now, the problem that I don't like about the NFL opening their yap is the NFL is a huge investor in the fantasy sports sites. So why not come out of the closet and say, hey, we understand it. I get the Vegas point, okay? There's a little bit too much gambling going on there, but I would not stop.
But my thing is that they're holding it at a casino-related property. There's not even a casino on the ground. And this place, they're going to have a ton of players, an opportunity for all these fans to meet some of their favorite players, and they just called him last week and told him he had to cancel it. But they don't, you know, tell Rob Gronkowski that he can't host his party cruise with a casino on the boat. And I think it's absolutely ridiculous.
I agree with part of it. I agree with part of it, but the casino, the blackjack tables is not considered a casino. That's the difference is that casinos are you know, games, and then there's sports betting. They're different. That's why they're always separated in the casino as well. I'm with you. I would not have had them canceled either. I think it is ridiculous. I'm in agreement there, but I do understand it. But this really relates. This is more of an archaic rule because of the Boston College fixes and all the fixes that we never heard about, because those things did happen back in the day when guys were making $25,000. You know, and a bookmaker's offering them, you know, $10,000 to throw a game, they're going to take it. That just goes back to the Black Sox scandal. So I get your point. I'm 100% agreement with you, with the one exception that the party cruise is a little bit different than being in the city of Vegas. Okay. Now, again, I don't think they should have canceled it. They have a million Super Bowl parties in Vegas all the time, and all the old timers are there at all the Super Bowl. But that's one of the things that are going. The old time players come out and hang out with you. But
then the NFL, they're also talking about this past year moving the Raiders to Vegas.
Well, no, hold your fervor. We'll talk about it when we come back from the break. This is the Sporting Edge with Bubba and a fired up Xander. He's picking it up. He's picking him up and laying him down. The Sporting Edge. If you missed an episode, LibertyTalk.fm on demand. We'll be right back with Bubba and a fired up Xander right after the break. The Sporting Edge.
Finish this last bite. You don't get my soul, do you?
Welcome back to the Sporting Edge with Bubba and Xander. And Xander, now, the Raiders talked about moving to Vegas in the league with the kibosh on.
Oh, baloney. They're so hypocritical. I can't wait till Roger Goodell's done. They need another commissioner. I mean, stuff like this, ticky-tack crap, happens all the time. I mean, just for me as a fan, going to Vegas at the center to meet all my favorite players, I mean, is it such a bad thing? I mean, it just pisses me off. The NFL and their PR and all their bullcrap, sometimes it's just too much for me.
I agree.
I apologize for getting heated up, but the NFL, sometimes they just, I can't take it.
I agree. I'm with you. How about Johnny Manziel? Gone. Another 3 or 4 days. Out. You see the new plan they put together? I don't know. I got to ask you a question. Okay. Jeff Fisher. Now, he was an ex-Bear, and obviously you don't remember him, but he was a Bear, and he was a great player, and he was a good defensive coach. Wherever he's been to some big games. But how can he still be a coach? I mean, he's got penciled in right now as starting quarterback for next year of Case Keenum with Nick Foles backing him up. They have no intention of getting somebody better. Tell me.
I think Jeff Fisher is living 20 years in the past. You know, back when the ground and pound was the bread and butter of the NFL, it's just not the same game anymore. I mean, the Rams offense hasn't been good since the best show on turf, which was almost, we're approaching 2 decades. And that was about, I feel like the last time Jeff Fisher was the coach of a good team was, you know, those early 2000s Titans teams with Steve McNair at RIP. But, I mean, you know, Case Keenum has not shown much in his few years in the NFL, and neither has Nick Foles, besides that one fluke of a half season. I think it's just ridiculous. I mean, you're not going to win by just giving Todd Gurley the ball 30 times. You don't have a good enough team. You don't have a good enough offensive line. You just cut 3 guys on defense who've been very productive for you over the course of the past 5 or 6 years. I mean, I think Jeff Fisher's living in the past, and to be honest, I mean, I always thought he was a pretty good coach, but he's got a career 520 win percentage. I mean, you know, he's about average. Not much better.
Listen, I agree. He's a great disappointment because he is a very good defensive coach, but he can't seem to put an offense together. I mean, he can't even put out an acceptable offense. I mean, you know, why wouldn't you go after somebody? I don't get it.
The only time the Rams were good on offense is when we bet against them in Vegas when we took the bus. They put up 28 points in the first half.
You know, I could just say this, that I don't understand how he's got a job. I marvel in the amount of big draft picks they've had. And you can say Sam Bradford got hurt and that hurt him. But, you know, I didn't like the Sam Bradford pick in the first place. But that's besides the point. Now, I mean, you got to start doing something, and they just stink. I mean, they're not even fun to watch. And but I'll bet you that the 49ers will be fun to watch, though, next year if Kaepernick comes back healthy, because how about you, Chip Kelly? All of a sudden, you know, remember Chip Kelly didn't say a lot about him, but now he's loving him now. I think we're going to see a much more interesting offense in San Francisco this year.
Hold on. We have an update a couple hours ago. There's a report that Colin Kaepernick asked the 49ers for permission to seek a trade from San Francisco. So there's a little twist in the icing on the cake. I mean, I heard what Chip Kelly said, and I thought that they were going to work well together, but it looks like the tides have turned a little bit, and Kaepernick is possibly looking to get out of San Francisco.
Wow. I didn't read that. That's interesting. Wow. That's a story in itself. But I think Chip Kelly, if he gets the right kind of guys, will be okay, as he was in Philly. His problem is going to be that his quarterbacks are going to get killed, and you know, and RG3 is going to get released as well. Does he get picked up?
I think so. I thought the Rams might have been a decent spot for him. I mean, I don't know if you can tell me that he's a great fit with any team, but, you know, what's wrong with the Rams? I mean, you're not telling me that Case Keenum is better than him. I mean, he might be for a game, but I think RG3, I mean, I think you take the risk. I mean, like we just talked about, I don't know how you go into an NFL season extremely confident with Case Keenum as your quarterback.
Well, again, I don't go confident with Jeff Fisher as my head coach, so that becomes a problem. And then, of course, we're just coming through the combine, and of course, as always, there's ridiculous nonsense talk. But so they're worried about Wentz and Goff, and is Goff had enough? Is Goff hands big enough? Is Wentz has he had enough big game experience? I mean, come on, are you kidding me? These guys are, you know, it's so much different, and it's really funny because today, even guys that go to smaller schools, every school's got an unbelievable facility now. That if a guy's a talent, he's a talent. What do you think?
I agree. I think Bill Belichick last week or a couple weeks ago said this the best. He's like, you know, I really don't agree with guys, you know, just training for the combine. Because when you think about it, is anything in the combine like what happens in a real game? I mean, not really. I mean, you run the 40-yard dash, you bench press 225 as many times as you can, you vertical leap, you do some drills. But, I mean, that isn't real game experience. And not to throw down on anybody who has unbelievable combine numbers, but I agree with Bill Belichick. I mean, it's not really playing football. I mean, you show me your workout warrior, I'll say throw some pads on him. Can he make plays for me? I don't really care if he runs a 4-second 40. If he doesn't know what's going on and he can't make a play, then what good is he to me? So, I mean, I always thought the combine is a little bit overrated. But, I mean, that's what makes the news. I mean, there's things to talk about with every guy. And I think a more important part that really we don't get to see is, you know, the interviews and the stuff they talk about with these guys. So I think more than their football skills, I mean, because a lot of them have a lot of skill, but they want guys who they think, you know, can help them win. And that's the most important part. I mean, you can be a lesser athlete and make more plays on the field just because you know what's going on more and you're a better playmaker. So I think the combine, while it's cool and fun to watch, I think it's a little bit overrated. And I think a lot of people, like Bill Belichick told us, I think a lot of people would agree.
Oh, I would agree. I think it's a waste of time. I don't know why it has to be an invitation only, the whole deal. I mean, you know, I can't believe they didn't take the kid from Navy and give him a shot out there. So to me, it's a big joke, you know, jumping as high as you can. And, you know, but you went through it. You played high school football. I mean, you went through the silly stuff that was there, you know. I mean, but that's what they do. And again, it's got nothing to do. You look at some of these guys, you know, I mean, remember Wolfork, okay? Guy weighed 9,000 pounds, but he could play, right? I mean, you would look at him, the Fridge Perry, you know, he was the first 300-pounder, okay? You wouldn't think he could play a lick, but he certainly could play, and that's the problem. It's not what you look like in a gym. It's what you look like when you're making a tackle or when you're making a pass or when you're catching a ball or when you're running it. When you got somebody who is equally as talented as you are coming after you, that's when you show something. To go run the 40, what difference does it make? It means that look at the who's the best specimen in football in the last 10 years? What's his name? You know what I'm talking about.
Calvin Johnson.
Well, I mean, he's great, but I'm talking about the kid from South Carolina. He's been injured his whole career.
Oh, Jadeveon Clowney, yeah.
I mean, there ain't a better specimen than that anywhere. And he was, oh my God, he's going to be unbelievable. This guy can't stand a guy on the field. What good is he?
I know. But you know, one of the interesting things about the draft this year, is it possible, I think, that we see a Bill O'Brien and Christian Hackenberg, you know, reuniting?
I was just going to say that. I was just going to bring that up. I, honest to God, that was my next thing out of my mouth. It'd be kind of silly not to. Now, the question is, will Hackenberg last that long? He's been working out like a maniac, and he's realizing some of the mistakes that, you know, that he made. But, you know, he did, in his defense, and I don't defend any athlete, but in his defense, the team was not as good as it should have been, and he was a little bit up against it because a lot of guys left, and, you know, because of the change and, you know, all the stuff that happened. But, you know, I think he's going to be good, and I would be very surprised if he does not end up with Houston.
Yeah, I mean, I think I never was really that impressed with Hackenberg in college, but it's not always about, you know, you see the guys put up a ton of stats in college, but Christian Hackenberg has the body type, you know, has the throwing motion, you know, has the size. I mean, he's got the goods to be an NFL quarterback, and he actually had his best year with Bill O'Brien there, so I don't see why not, because I'm not happy going into next year with Brian Hoyer. I mean, I'm really not. I know they made the playoffs. They got absolutely spanked
by
the Chiefs.
He sucks. He's a backup. That's what he is. When we come back from the break, I will have two words for you, and then I'll get your opinion, because this will answer your Christian Hackenberg question about how he looked in college. This is The Sporting Edge with Bubba and Xander. We're going to stop by here for a break. If you missed an episode, LibertyTalk.fm. Get you all the on demand. We'll step out here for a break. The Sporting Edge with Bubba and Dinner. We'll be right back.
Trust. For nearly four decades, that is the reputation Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or major credit card. Visit them online at rrbi.co or call 800-874-9760 to speak with an experienced professional today. Roberts & Roberts, when you're serious about precious metals.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialdini, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to the Sporting Edge with Bubba and Xander. Okay, Xander. My two words are...
Wait. But can I guess first?
Go ahead.
Tom Brady.
That's right.
Yep, I knew it.
I mean, he might not... You know, the funny thing is if Bledsoe doesn't get hurt, he might never have seen the field. Now, we know he's great now, but he... You know, some guys never get the chance, and they give up. Now, he doesn't seem like the kind of guy to give up, but there you go. He wasn't a highly sought-after guy when he came into the league.
No, he was a sixth-rounder. I mean, he looked like... He just graduated eighth grade in the combine. I mean, he saw pictures of him with his shirt off. He didn't look like he had one muscle on him. You know, it was kind of slow. And all. You look at all the reports, and it's kind of funny when you look at it now. You know, it's the best QB in the NFL over the past 15 years. It's unbelievable. So that's why, you know, you take college with a grain of salt. You take the combine with a grain of salt. You see the guy in the field. Tom Brady got thrown in the fire, and he made plays and won a Super Bowl and hasn't looked back since.
That's right, and that's the thing. See, this is where people get too enamored with these combines and these big players. Now, you know, the Bears, I don't think you're alive yet, but the Bears drafted Rashawn Salaam, okay, from Colorado. He rushed for, I think, 2,200 yards at Colorado, okay? He couldn't average over 3 yards in the pros because in Colorado they were running the wishbone. Now, you know, in the wishbone, you're always getting a running start. And most of the time, you're getting the ball in the open. So, you know, again, college is college, and you can tell, you know, listen, you find good linemen and good defenders in college. But as far as the offensive guys, you can tell if a guy's pure and he's good, but you'll find a lot of guys that didn't necessarily flourish in the college system that can flourish in the pro system. And I think that's where we all make a lot of mistakes, judging too quickly on the guy, you know, Ryan Leaf. They almost drafted him over Peyton Manning.
I remember that.
Okay, so he was terrible. Now in college,
it was a big mistake.
You know, so it always comes down to that. And then, of course, there's a little bit of NBA stuff. And I got to ask you a question. There was a rumor going around that the Boston Celtics were interested in Carmelo Anthony, and I go, why would Brad Stevens, with his nice developing young team, ever want to consider a cancer like a Carmelo Anthony on that team? Can you answer that for me?
You know what? I'm going to disagree with you a little bit. I think Carmelo Anthony, over his career, has grown up a lot. I don't think he's all the way there yet. But I do think that he wants to win. And no matter what people think of him, I think he wants to win now. I think he sees the light at the end of the tunnel, and I think he wants to win. And I think he would sacrifice some stuff to do that. So, you know, say what you want about him, but I think it would have been a decent fit. I think he would have come in there with a plan. I think Brad Stevens would have sat him down, told him what they wanted to do, and I think he would have been all in. And I really think Carmelo wants to win. I mean, I changed my opinion of him a little bit from a couple of years ago, but I honestly think he wants to win.
Well, he may want to win now because he got the $200 million, but he still is a ball hog, and he's still a cancer. And a cancer in the locker room, they don't change. And that's why it's hard to get him to go other places. I'd never take him on my team if I had a nice, young, developing team like I got there. But, hey, that's what opinions are for. All right, Chris Bosh. Too bad. Now, there's a great player that never is going to – he may be down for his career because these blood clots keep showing up, and obviously when you've had what he's had, it's very dangerous. So he's out for the year now. That's a tough break for Miami, and it's a tougher break for the kid because, you know, he's the real deal as far as a guy who wants to play and win. I mean, he sacrificed when he was part of the big three, okay? There's the guy I want on my team, but unfortunately – he's not going to be playing anymore this year, and I would say that there's a good chance that he'll never play again. If I said to you that Curry and Klay Thompson are the best scoring guards tandem in history, what would you say?
I don't think I could disagree with you. I mean, I don't think I've been watching basketball as long as you have, so I can't really get all those names off the top of my head, but, I mean, right now, you know, I could not disagree. I mean, do you know, can you think of anybody who's better? I mean, I guess scoring-wise, no. I mean, you really couldn't say.
I mean, now the difference is this is a scorer's league. Again, this is where the argument's always going to come up. And even Oscar Robertson, Oscar Robertson played guard in the 60s, okay? Now, Oscar Robertson averaged a triple-double. How's that? Okay.
That's pretty awesome.
Now they make a big deal. A guy gets a triple double. You know, he averaged a triple double, okay, for an entire season. So, you know, again, the game has changed. So it's hard to compare that era, but you used to have a great point guard and a shooting guard, or maybe your point guard was the shooter. But, you know, I mean, the only one I can think that might be comparable that I can really remember, and I'm sure there's more, but Jerry West and Gail Goodrich were pretty good, okay, from the Lakers. But
right, yeah, we'll a little see. Bit before my time.
A little bit. Just a shade. All right. Baseball. What do you think about Miggy going to third base this year?
You know what? kind of indifferent about it. I mean, seems like he's been getting a little more out of shape each year, but I mean, the guy can still mash the ball. So I'm kind of indifferent. I don't really care. I really don't think the Tigers have a shot this year. In any case, even if Miggy hits 350, I think they're kind of a lost cause.
I always thought they were a lost cause. I you know what? There's certain people, there's certain teams, and there's certain coaching staffs that just can never get the most talent out of what they have. I mean, it's amazing when you look at the Tigers from last year. Okay, look who was on their team. David Price makes the playoffs with Toronto. Cespedes goes and brings the Mets to the playoffs. Yet, the Tigers couldn't win. Now, I know they had injuries, but again, every team has injuries. Okay? So, you know, some teams just suck. Why do the Angels every year lumber around and never play good, and then all of a sudden they try to get hot, and some years they make a late run, and some years they don't? Okay? You know what I mean? It's just, I don't know. I don't get it.
Some teams are just like that. And, you know, speaking of teams like that, it's another even year. Are the Giants going to take home another World Series for the fourth time on the even years?
Well, they could. I mean, listen, they certainly got the players. They certainly got the coach. There's a coach, right? Now you're talking the difference. You got a coach who can coach, okay? And you got a coach, the players love him, okay? So now, you know, you're talking about, I mean, you know, you got Cueto and what the hell's
Samardzija?
Samardzija. And you're not talking about Baumgartner.
Right. I mean, I think the key for the Giants this year is going to be, you know, how well do Mike Leach and Samardzija perform? I mean, if they have a combined ERA, I think, of under 3.5, 3-4, it's going to be a scary team. I mean, because I think they're definitely going to put up numbers on offense. They always do. They don't have a great offense. They always put up numbers, though. And I think they're going to be a scary team. I think they're going to win this division this year. I don't think the Dodgers are going to take it.
I got news for you. I don't know if the Dodgers are. I mean, the Dodgers are going to compete because they got Kershaw. But they lost a lot when they lost Greinke. I think they've got. I think they're a little bit weak, and you know it depends on you know the center fielder, the Jackman. You know, I mean, there's a lot. They got a lot of questions as far as I'm concerned. I mean, I'll put it this way: the wild card ain't coming out of that division, in my opinion. And I think that San Francisco will run and hide in that division. That's my opinion, and I could be wrong. It's obviously way too early to tell, but that would be my opinion as of today.
I agree with you. But on another note, how about our Cubbies getting back Dexter Fowler? What were your thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, I thought it was pretty good. I mean, he passed up, I think, more money with Baltimore. But, you know, hey, you know, it's they now say Madden will have 162 lineups this year because he likes to mix them up. But, you know, I think it's great for the Cubs. Look, I would like to see 1 year in my lifetime that they actually get there now because I've been through the disappointings. I've been through the ground ball through Leander Durham's legs. You know, I've been through the, I don't blame the kid anyways, Bartman, but I don't blame him. That was the shortstop's fault as it turned out. But
Alex Gonzalez, I still remember.
Yeah, but you were at that game. But, you know, again, I think that it's great. I think that the Cubs are great, and obviously I'd like to see him make a run. I hate the fact that they're the favorite. I mean, you know, it makes you feel good now, but, you know, some teams, and I'm not saying they won't. I mean, I think they got some great stuff, you know, and I think they have some great leaders. We'll talk about those when we come back from the break because, you know, I want to get into Rizzo and Bryant because I do think that they've got some real leadership on that team. I think they're a little bit different than your normal younger team. This is the Sporting Edge with Bubba and Xander. We're going to step out of here for a break, but make sure if you ever miss an episode, you just go to libertytalk.fm. It's there on demand for you. Also, don't forget to catch the Bubba Show during the week for you business enthusiasts, because we believe in investing both in sports and in business. This is the Sporting Edge with Bubba and Xander. We will be right back. Welcome back to the Sporting Edge with Bubba and Xander. So, Xander, I do believe that Rizzo is a great leader. I think he's not there. To me, he's a class act all the way. He don't get too excited. He don't get too bummed. He just kind of tries to lead his way through. I think Zobrist is a great team guy. And I think that they've got, you know, some real good stuff. And I got news for you. I think the real sleeper on that team, not from a performance state, but from a leadership, is David Ross, who's retiring this year.
Yeah, I actually just read something that, you know, Jason Hayward's paying for David Ross to be upgraded to, you know, nice suites at every road trip they go on. I think that's awesome. I mean, I think, you know, man, no matter what he does in the field, I mean, that's the kind of respect that he has. And I think, I mean, it's unreal to think, like, how many pieces are coming together for this Cubs team. I mean, I remember sitting here last year, and they weren't even supposed to be close to making the playoffs. You know, we were talking maybe 10 games under, showing some improvement. He ended up in the NLCS and got spanked, but, I mean, I think this team got even better this offseason. I think the addition of Fowler just makes the Cubs that much more versatile. I mean, the guy had his best career year last year, and I think he's really, I think, you know, he's a very good player. Not a great player, but he makes plays. He's a very good defensive outfielder. And this possibly sets up, you know, trading a guy like Soler, you know, a guy like Baez possibly for another good starting pitcher. So, you know, I mean, this Cubs pitching staff is already very good. And I think a key to this year's success, can Kyle Hendricks, you know, hit that 30-start mark and pitch well? I mean, because I think Lester and Arrieta, in any case, I think they're going to be pretty good and more than pretty good. I think Lester will find more of a comfortability this year. And I think Arrieta will bounce back from that disappointing playoff performance in the NLCS. You know, I love John Lackey. I think he's a gamer. And then this lineup, it's just scary good. I mean, so many combinations. You got Hayward, Fowler, Soler, Schwarber, Rizzo, Bryant, Russell. I mean, and you got Miguel Montero, too. So, I mean, this team is scary. And like you said, I don't like them being number one because that's the last time that happened, they got swept by Manny Ramirez and the Dodgers. We won't talk about that. But I'm excited for this year.
No, I'm excited. Look, I'm excited, too. I mean, I'm a Cub fan. I like both Chicago teams. And how do you like Gallardo going to Baltimore? What took him so long? You know, I don't understand it. I hear complaints. We can't get a guy who gives us innings. We can't get innings. Here's a guy out there on the cheap that'll give you innings you couldn't get signed. What do you make of that?
I mean, you know, maybe it's like a Cespedes thing. People don't really like him. I don't know. But, yeah, Yovani Gallardo, I mean, say what you want. He's a pretty consistent, pretty good MLB pitcher. Kind of reminds me of Mike Leake. I mean, the guy goes out there and he throws. Right. And sometimes that's what you need. I mean, you're not going to have a number one on every day of the week, so you need guys to get out there and throw innings.
Yeah, I mean, look, you know, at the end of the day, I mean, he goes out there and pitch. You need guys to fill the games up so that your bullpen is strong for when you really need them. Because what do we know for sure? Basically, every team is going to win 60 and every team is going to lose 60. That's automatic, okay?
Right.
That's the statistics. I mean, you know, so now it's what happens with other games, and that's why you need guys to fill out those games when they're not going well, you know, and go deep into games. So you don't burn out your bullpen. I mean, that's always the case. And, you know, and that's what, you know, guys understand. I tell you what, I got to like that. I hear Darvish is throwing BBs now that he's back from his Tommy John. So.
Well, I don't care if he's throwing BBs. I just want him to stay on the field. I mean, he's a really fun guy to watch, but you know, I hate to see him get hurt again. I mean, you know, him, Tanaka and the Yankees. I mean, Tanaka has looked great when he's on the field, but you know, in two full seasons, the MLB hasn't been able to make it through either one of them. So, I mean, you never know with those guys.
Oh, you're right. That's always the problem, okay, is exactly, you know, you got to be able to stay on the field. And it becomes a big challenge for guys like that. And that is always a tough thing to see happen. But, you know, hey. You know, it's just like Josh Hamilton, you know? I mean, he's out again, you know, this year.
Right, I saw that. I mean, what a shame.
You know, well, you know, obviously part of that's got to be on his own. I mean, you know, I feel bad he had a problem, but when you have a problem, you create other problems for yourself. And, of course, you know, we'll see how it plays there. So, you know, we've got our draft on March 22nd. So, coming up, who's the number one pitcher you take, big boy?
You know, we talked a little bit last week about it, and I said Clayton Kershaw, but, you know, I'm just not sure about that anymore. I mean, the Dodgers, they just don't give me that ring anymore like they did last year with Greinke and Kershaw. You know what? I think I could see myself taking a guy like Lester Arrieta. I mean, I think the Cubs are going to be, something else this year. I mean, in a team that's going to win a lot of games, you want a guy at the top of the rotation to draft on your team. So, I mean, one of those guys, you know, I mean, David Price is a guy. I think the Red Sox are going to be an upbeat team this year. So he's a guy I could look at. But, you know, basically number one guys, number two guys on top teams. I mean, that's what you want. So, I mean, what do you think? Who are you looking at?
Well, I mean, Lester would not be – in my draft, Lester doesn't even go in the first round. But I mean, I'm just saying, in my draft, he doesn't go in the first round. But, I mean, I think, you know, you want, you know, a Price is the kind of guy, you know, but you got to be careful. You know, again, the best guy, not really the number one guy, but probably the best guy is probably Baumgartner. Because, you know, he's pitching. You know, he's got a much better team this year. You know, he's going deep into games and you know he doesn't get hurt. Okay, so those are the key factors because the first thing you got to have is a start. That's why guys like Cueto, now obviously Cueto's declined quite a bit, but guys like Cueto, and that's what makes Kershaw so good. I mean, he's going to go. Kershaw's giving you 30 to 35 starts. That you know you're getting him. You know he's going to the seventh inning in almost every game. So, you know, Lester's good, but again, he just doesn't quite fit the mold. Now, he'll go earlier in our run because there'll be some Cub fans, but, you know, I think that you look at
Dallas Keuchel, here's a guy. He can possibly
yep,
go.
Absolutely, Dallas Keuchel's a guy. And, you know, Wainwright probably has to be a question mark, but he used to be a guy all the time.
Cole Hamels probably this year. I mean, he had quite a year last year.
Well, yeah, and he's good. He'll go innings. And Garrett Cole from the Pirates.
Right. Gerrit Cole.
You know, so there's enough out there that, you know, but it's the guys you got to find, though. So you got to find the guy that nobody thinks is going to win it, that's going to win 18 games. And there'll be a couple of those out there, and that'll be always a trick to find those guys. So, how about, you know, I asked you last week, Giancarlo Stanton, you know, I mean, obviously an unbelievable hitter, but can he stay healthy one year finally, or, you know?
You know, I love the guy. He's an immense talent, but I think I would stay away from him, I think. I mean, two seasons, you know, he's playing 110 games, played 74 games. You know, I just can't feel comfortable picking a guy. And I know injuries happen. But, I mean, like, you know, the guys for half of his career, you know, he's been kind of hurt. And it just makes me uneasy picking guys like that. Because if you're going to play fantasy baseball, real fantasy baseball for the whole season, you want guys who are consistent and don't really get hurt. You know, daily fantasy, you do what you want. But, I mean, over a whole season, especially in a league like yours where, you know, you can't drop guys, your lineup doesn't change, I think you got to look for more consistency.
Well, that's my point. That's why, you know, listen, I'm a statistic guy. A guy has been injured, I ain't taking him. I don't care how good he's going to be, I'm not taking him, because for some reason, now Giancarlo Stanton, the two injuries he had were flukes. He got hit in the head, okay, and he had the ham bone on his hand. But I'm not interested in that. I'm interested in guys that don't have that kind of history, because just like in trading, the charts tell the story, and a guy who's injured, you look at him every year, they just always get injured, just like they always, a guy who's been around long enough, Robbie Cano from last year, you know he's going to hit 20 home runs and drive in 75 or 80 and hit 280. And that's exactly, he looked garbage all year, but at the end of the year, those were his numbers. But that'll have to do it for today's edition of The Sporting Edge. This has been The Sporting Edge with Bubba and Xander. And of course, if you ever miss an episode, you can go to libertytalk.fm and pick it up. Everybody have a great weekend. Enjoy and get ready. We're right around the corner from the March Madness, and the pitchers and catchers are in camp, and spring training is beginning, and April 3rd is opening day with the Cubbies and the Dodgers. Everybody have a great weekend. This is The Sporting Edge. We'll see you next week. Enjoy, everybody. Thank you so much for being here. We'll see you later.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.